got to bring in Steve Kirsch. Steve was a high-tech entrepreneur and started off in the pandemic situation back in the winter and the spring of 2020, looking to pull people together for a solution, but I think kind of went through an awakening. He's now executive director of the Vaccine Safety Institute. So, Steve, tell us about your journey. Tell us about the Institute, about your ideas about vaccines today, and this amazing rally that you guys are pulling together on the 23 January here between the Lincoln, between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial.
Sure. You know, I started out with early treatment. When the pandemic started, the scientists I talked to said pursue early treatment. And so I focused on funding research on drugs like fluvoxamine, which are now on in practice guidelines in places in both America and Canada. And I was on 60 Minutes, featured on 60 Minutes for my work in helping to fund that research. And we funded other research as well. But what happened is that I was vaccinated back. I was doubly vaccinated back in March. And what happened is that after being vaccinated about a month later, I started hearing stories from my friends, people who had been vaccinated and then died within a week after being vaccinated. So I had one friend who had three relatives that were perfectly healthy, and all three of them died within a week after being vaccinated. And I said, somebody's lying to me. It's either my friend or it's the CDC. So I decided to investigate. And the more I looked, the more I found that all of this was consistent with the story that the vaccines were unsafe. And people needed to be told that story. So I actually tipped off Robert Malone about that the study on the biodistribution data. And so that led to both of us being on Brett Weinstein on the Dark Horse podcast that lasted for several hours that really started this whole thing going. And both Dr. Malone and I basically have, you know, since that day been very consistent in saying that these are very, very dangerous vaccines. These vaccines are about 1,000 times more dangerous than the smallpox vaccine, which is deemed to be too unsafe to use. And we're talking something that's 1,000 times worse. So
okay, you went from, I mean, being a high-tech entrepreneur, that means obviously you're very familiar with venture capital. You're very familiar with private equity. That is the world of hyper-rationality. Sometimes it's fantasy, but most of the time, hyper-rationality, right? How do you go from there and in the belly of it, and particularly understand Silicon Valley, and you know, you're initially it's all let's have a group hug and figure out how to get here, till you have an awakening? I take it you're not invited to the same dinner parties and cocktail parties that they think now you're a raving madman. I mean, it's because you're an apostate. So walk us through that, because I want to. This is why you're so interesting. You've kind of come from the belly of the beast, right, as Malone did, to now like you're crazier than the guys that are normally on War Room Pandemic. So walk us through that.
I'm basically pretty simple. I'm an MIT trained engineer. So I have a couple of degrees in electrical engineering, computer science from MIT, and we're trained to just look at the data. And when we see a problem, we're trained to try to minimize the problem. And so what intervention, you know, such as early treatment, can go and minimize the loss of life. And so we're not so concerned about a reputation. We're concerned about, you know, solving a particular problem. So what led me to, into this belief that I have is just the data. The data was overwhelming. Any scientist, basically, you know, you have a hypothesis. Either the CDC is telling you the truth or your friends are telling you the truth, and it's one or the other. And so you look and you see what the evidence is, and it turns out that all the evidence that I found was all consistent with that the CDC is lying to us. Every single piece of evidence, I couldn't find anything that supported the safe and effective narrative of the CDC. And I couldn't get them to even talk to me. I even offered $1 million to the people on the FDA and CDC external committees. I said, look, you know, I think the evidence is pretty damning here. And even for $1 million, these people would not, none of them would even respond to my offer. And this is just $1 million. This is not if you win the debate. This is just $1 million just to talk to me for a few hours. If you ask a member of Congress, hey, how many kids have to die before you will pull the plug on these vaccines? How many kids have to die? And you know what the answer is from members of Congress about this? The answer is, we don't want to answer that question. So there's no stopping condition for these vaccines. They can kill 1,000 kids, 10,000 kids, 100,000 kids. They won't stop it. They don't even want to look at the problem. They don't want to acknowledge that the vaccines are killing people. They don't want to face the truth. And on my Substack today, I published an article about this insurance company in Indiana. And it is devastating, okay, because this is from the CEO of a big insurance company in Indiana, and he reported a 40%. If you ask a member of Congress, hey, how many kids have to die before you will pull the plug on these vaccines? How many kids have to die? And you know what the answer is from members of Congress about this? The answer is, we don't want to answer that question. So there's no stopping condition for these vaccines. They can kill 1,000 kids, 10,000 kids, 100,000 kids. They won't stop it. They don't even want to look at the problem. They don't want to acknowledge that the vaccines are killing people. They don't want to face the truth. And on my Substack today, I published an article about this insurance company in Indiana, and it is devastating, okay, because this is from the CEO of a big insurance company in Indiana, and he reported a 40%. Yeah.
The FDA during the show just announced what authorization of the vaccine for 12 to 15 year olds. They knew Dr. Malone was coming on today and Steve Kerr, so they just want to make heads blow up. Just get in your grill. This is what they think about the Vaccine Safety Institute. So what about that, Steve? I mean, you've dedicated your life. You're an entrepreneur. You're a guy that's dealt with capital markets before and building companies. You've kind of come. You've had an awakening about this. First off, what are the two? Just give me like in a venture capital pitch. What are the two or three data points, evidence that you can put forward that says the CDC is lying about the vaccines? To wit, and you're coming on the show this morning. And we advertised that, and we advertised Dr. Malone's coming on. And I know the FDA didn't do it because of this, but there are no coincidences. They approved it now for 12 to 15-year-olds. So they're saying, hey, Kirsch, we hear you. Malone, we hear you. And we raise your one. Steve Kirsch.
Yeah, so, you know, it's hard to just narrow it down to maybe three data points, but I'd probably start with the VAERS database, because that's the official database that is used for safety monitoring by all of the government agencies. It's a government-run database. It's used by the government agencies. Although anyone can report, mostly it's healthcare providers, and the Health and Human Services reviews everything before it goes into the database. There are 10,000 domestic deaths reported in VAERS. But VAERS is historically underreported, and using CDC's own methodology, the underreporting factor is about 41 or greater, which means that we've killed, that this vaccine has killed over 400,000 Americans who were formerly healthy. Now, a lot of them are over 65, but a lot of them are also between 18.
Hang on, because that number, walk us through. How do you, with 2 degrees from MIT in engineering, not in philosophy, how do you get, well, I want to walk through the, how do you get to 400,000 deaths?
So if you go to a place like OpenVAERS, which is just one of the three portals into the VAERS database, they're all the same. They give the same information. You go to OpenVAERS and you flip you slide the slider, and you look at domestic deaths, you'll find that it's about 9,500 or so domestic deaths. We'll round it up to 10,000. It'll be over 10,000 very soon. So that's one piece of data, and that's from the U.S. government. Now, the second piece of data that you have to calculate is called this underreporting factor, because VAERS is a voluntary system, so not everybody reports. So typically, VAERS only sees a small fraction of the reports. And so you don't know what the true number is. You just know what the small sample size is, because people will have 41 events, for there will be 41 deaths, and only one death will be reported. As an example, I know a neurologist who has 2,000 vaccine injured. She's only filed 2 VAERS reports, so she has an underreporting factor of 1,000. Now,
Steve,
most doctors
MSNBC, when I see the government officials come on, they're saying, well, you can't take VAERS. First time they've ever mentioned it. You can't take VAERS because people just report in. And we, as the government and CDC, we're not saying that that number is a real number, an official number. In fact, any kind of report in. How do you rebut what the mainstream media is saying, that, which they've never questioned VAERS before, but in this situation, all of a sudden, since Steve Kirsch and others are saying that, Malone and others are saying that it shows you that you're having all these deaths. They're saying, well, that was never, it's never, it's not validated, it's not regulated. What say you, sir?
Well, I say that they won't talk to me. Even for $1 million, they won't come to the debate table and do a recorded debate so we can discuss this. And, you know, if I'm wrong, and if all my scientist friends are wrong who look at the VAERS database, and they're people who spend full time looking at this stuff, and they say the same thing, and they found the same thing. We have several different people who have gone through this, and they find the same numbers that I found. And so we're all using the CDC methodology. It was published in a paper by 5 CDC authors a year ago for how you find the underreporting factor. And we're doing it by the book, and we're doing the statistics on anaphylaxis to determine this rate that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. So we're doing everything by the book. We're following the instructions that they gave us precisely to determine how underreported VAERS is. And it's consistent with earlier reports that were done where VAERS was deemed to be anywhere from 10 to 100 times underreported. So coming up with a number like 41 is well within the ballpark of what you'd expect. So you just basically...
But hang on, Steve, yeah. You come from the rational world of MIT and Silicon Valley. Why would physicians and good people who are not working for Pfizer, but people at the deck plates level, why would there not be a massive uprising around this topic?
Well, part of it is this mass formation psychosis that Dr. Malone talked about on the Rogan interview. So there are only about 30% of the people that are kind of awake and know what's going on. But you see, they're restricted from speaking out because any doctor who speaks out will have their medical license revoked by these medical boards. All these medical boards, there are about 150 medical boards, and all of them have the exact same rules that we will take away your license if you spread in misinformation. And misinformation is defined as anything that goes against what the CDC says. And so none of these doctors are able to speak out because they don't want to lose their livelihood. They don't want to lose their ability to practice medicine. This is why doctors are all saying, oh, take the vaccine, safe and effective, because they have to. Because if they say anything else, they will have their license removed. That's why you're not hearing objections. And this is why no one will debate me, because they can't go on camera and lie about it. And nobody wants to talk about it. Yeah. And I have emailed the CDC, the FDA, Steven Anderson at the FDA, who is the guy who's supposed to be responsible for safety monitoring at the FDA, and he doesn't say a word. And I'm a big misinformation spreader, according to them. They could take me down just by debating me, but they don't, because they know they. It's like why Bobby Kennedy has been trying for 20 years to get a debate on vaccine safety. Nobody will debate Kennedy for the same reason that nobody will debate me, because I know what the facts are and because I can use the facts against them. And, you know, the CDC assertion that nobody has died from these vaccines is preposterous. It's utter garbage. And the papers that the CDC publishes are garbage as well. And I dissect all these things on my Substack. And you can read all the analysis, you know, 60 pages of the derivation of the underreporting factor. All of this is in plain sight. And nobody's coming up with numbers that are more accurate or saying, oh, you're wrong, here's the more accurate number. They're just saying, oh, well, you can't do that. But you can. You can make engineering estimates of what's going on. And I've got 10 different ways to come up with the same number. I've got 10 different ways of coming up with 150,000 deaths or more caused by these vaccines. And nobody's challenging these. I even offered $1 million if they could just challenge one of them. This is Matthew Crawford's excess death analysis. And I said, I'm giving you $1 million. All you have to do is publish a paper that shows that we got it wrong, and I'll give you $1 million. And nobody's coming up with the challenge. So, and that's just one of the 10 ways. So this stuff, they just do not want to talk about it. And, you know, the people who are, they have to censor us, Steve. It's part of the mass formation psychosis. It requires censorship. This is the first time in history that the leader of the free world has a censorship list. And, you know, the American public is completely against this, but there isn't a member of Congress that's speaking out against the censorship list. I mean, this is unheard of.